This is Agriculture Today.
Only about 13% of producers said their farm was financially better off than a year ago. When looking ahead 1 year, producers were almost evenly split between expecting their operation to improve and expecting it to get worse. This tells us that optimism has improved, but uncertainty remains.
Talking about results from the latest Ag Economy Barometer, it's the director for the Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue, Dr. Michael Langemeyer. He says overall farmer sentiment improved after 3 consecutive monthly declines. It was stronger crop prices that lifted the views of current conditions and the near-term outlook. Again, most farmers expect cash rents to remain stable next year, but more anticipate increases than declines. Also says producers remain moderately optimistic about ag exports and the possibility of developing new foreign markets. Well, U.S. ag trade deficit narrowed sharply during the first half of the year as exports increased and imports declined. Census Bureau data using USDA's broad ag commodity definition shows exports reaching $91.8 billion, while imports totaled $104.9 billion. The resulting deficit, about $13 billion, down from roughly $28.6 billion during the same period last year. Ag exports increased nearly $6 billion, while imports fell approximately $9.6 billion. Grain, oil seeds, animal feed, and dairy helped strengthen the exports. Cereal exports reached $17.1 billion. Oil seed sales, $10.9 billion. Dairy and egg exports climbed to nearly $4.4 billion. U.S. ethanol blend rate reached a record 11.29% in May as expensive petroleum and favorable blending economics increased ethanol use. Renewable Fuels Association Chief Economist Scott Richmond says 12-month average also set a record at 10.57%. Now, ethanol traded nearly $1.50 lower per gallon, below the gasoline blend stock during the month of May. Now, renewable fuel credits also increased above ethanol prices, so it effectively makes the physical fuel extremely attractive to refiners and blenders. At the May blend rate, annual ethanol consumption would reach about 15.4 billion gallons. That's if gasoline demand matched the 2025 levels. And if so, that would exceed last year's consumption by more than a billion gallons and strengthen corn demand. Artificial intelligence could help cattle producers identify disease and heat stress problems before they became obvious. USDA Ag Research Service researchers tested a muzzle image system that predicted pink eye with high accuracy. Shows how contactless monitoring may improve herd health and reduce treatment delays. Study followed 870 cattle at 4 locations, including 170 animals that developed pink eye. Now, the system flagged 169 cases before veterinarians ever identified them, and it reported sensitivity of 99.4%. Earlier detection, what's that mean? Well, it could help producers isolate affected cattle, but begin treatment sooner, reduce transmission, and limit eye damage. Related research testing infrared eye temperatures and automated behavior monitoring for fever and heat stress that could be used soon in feedlots and dairies. It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
You know, typically we tend to focus on the negative. The increasing war with Iran, the increasing war with Russia, Ukraine, threats of strikes in the Red Sea, all these sorts of things. So this week, I'm going to try and actually do something a little bit differently, something outside my wheelhouse. We're going to try and look at the positives of the marketplace out there for the buyers.
Of course, it's been easy to focus on the negatives in fertilizer. Higher prices, limited availability. Josh Linville is Vice President of Fertilizer with StoneX.
Some of you may be looking at it from an investing standpoint. Some of you are farmers, retailers, wholesalers, whatever it is. I am looking at this as a positive from the buying side. So the first thing we're looking at today is that China has reportedly approved an additional 2 to 2.5 million tons of urea exports. Now, if you know, the Chinese government has been restricting exports since 2022. And that was in response to the global prices skyrocketing, supplies getting very, very tight. That was their way of trying to ensure that the Chinese farmer had more than enough at lower prices than the rest of the world. Back before all this started, their normal export rate was 5 to 5.5 million tons. And guys, so far, January through June, we've seen only about 500,000 tons be exported from the country. That is the world's number two exporter that's been scaled way, way back. So this 2 to 2.5 million tons of exports that's just been approved on the second round is in addition to the 3 million ton they had originally approved. That means if they hold to their word, if they go through with this, China should be normal again. China is back to exporting their normal rates. And when China, the interesting thing about them is when they're exporting, when the market believes they're exporting, it tends to lower prices. The market kind of sees them as the boogeyman. They don't want to compete with them. They need to get a little bit more aggressive because they know what the Chinese can do. So this is going to be very interesting to watch. And the timing couldn't be better because you've got India in the middle of their 1.7 million ton purchase tender. Well, they're East Coast. They're looking for 700,000 ton. You can see a situation where China swoops in, takes care of all of that. All of a sudden, everybody east of the Suez is looking at a situation where it's like, hey, wait a minute. All these tons I thought was going to go to India is now all of a sudden available again. This is a good thing. And as we're seeing, prices have backed up a little bit, at least when we're looking at some of our global prices that we look at from week to week. So number one, that's a great thing. We're seeing prices down a little. Number two, from a U.S. buyer's perspective, Morocco has been adding to their phosphate vessel lineup heading to here after President Trump suspended the countervailing duties for a short time. Now, please bear in mind, the Commerce Department has come out and recommended a rate of 20.04% going forward. They have looked at the information and said Morocco has not done enough to fix their system. It is still not a free market from their point of view. Take that for what it is based on your viewings of it. That's just what they have decided, and they're going to push that forward. But so far, we are still seeing vessels come here. Now, the one thing that's a little disappointing, two of those three vessels look like they're coming with triple superphosphate. And listen, phosphate units are phosphate units. I cannot complain about it, right? Any source supply at this point is a good thing. But the problem is triple superphosphate's got kind of a sordid history in the North American marketplaces. It's not terribly popular. But there is one vessel that's coming over, look like it's going to be filled with MAP. Now, could it be a MAP-DAP mix? Absolutely. But right now, the belief is this is a MAP vessel. So again, we're looking at a situation where even though the U.S. is one of the cheapest phosphate prices in the world, Morocco is still rewarding President Trump on his suspension of that duty. They are following true to their word that we won't send anything until the rate is gone. Now that the rate is gone, they're lining up. Now they're starting to get stuff coming in.
It's Agriculture Today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express water wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express water wagon helps keep your operation safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express water wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Surprise is not the objective function. Surprise is not what we're solving for.
Kevin Warsh is chairman of the Federal Reserve. On interest rates and forward guidance.
We have a clear North Star. What we're solving for is how to make the best decisions. Almost everything else should be in service to that goal. By not spoon-feeding markets, by not previewing our decisions, by not sort of giving nudges and leans, my colleagues and I found in the intermeeting period what we're getting is the views from a very accomplished economist. That's the internals of financial markets. Instead of just repeating or echoing what we're saying back to us, they're giving us somewhat, not perfect, their own judgment. Surprises are not the objective. But at the same time, I would say we didn't come into this meeting feeling constrained by the full range of alternatives we had in front of us. When some people that follow the Fed say, well, we don't want your forecast. We don't want your – we just want your reaction function. Part of me hears the – what we really want is your forecast. What we really want is your dot. In terms of reaction function, let me sort of disabuse people of a question that may or may not be real and be out there. Any central banker, especially a central banker where the labor markets are more or less at equilibrium, any central banker, when he or she sees underlying inflation moving higher, he or she is more inclined to tighten policy. Again, when you've achieved the other side of your mandate and you see underlying inflation falling, he's more inclined to loosen policy. That's my reaction function, and I don't suspect it will cause people to not continue to pry for more. The Federal Reserve every January outlines a statement of purposes and strategy. And in that strategy document, which I believe was dated January of this year, it describes a measure of PC inflation as the objective function there. I have enough of my own, so that's our number. We're sticking with it. Who knows, come after next January, what we might say about strategy. I suspect the task forces might have something to add. But I'll say this, some version of the Lucas critique, some version of Goodhart's law in economics should remind us that when we talk about measures of inflation or something else, and we describe those measures as being consistent with our objectives, we might make them such that they're not very good measures or very good objectives. Broadly, if you said to me standing in front of you, I abide fully by the strategy document, we're going to deliver 2% inflation and not a whisper more. But to achieve that, I'm looking at a broader set of inflation data than PCE. So without sort of fully revealing my cards, I'm trying to understand, like my colleagues, what's the underlying generalized change in prices that are happening in the economy? It is not a perfect science. I might have said 42 days ago, I've got a task force for that. But we have a data project that's trying to look and see whether we can't separate the noise from the signal. And so if you would hear a message from me, yes, I care about what the PCE prints are. I care about what the contributions are from CPI and everything else. But my lens is broader than that. Even though the remit is quite narrow.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit TexasCorn.org and become a member today.
This is Agriculture Today.
For the last several months, we've talked about farmer sentiment softening. Well, in July, that changed. What caught our attention wasn't the improvement in sentiment. It was what farmers identified as the biggest challenge facing their operations over the next 5 to 10 years.
Dr. Michael Langemeyer is director of the Center for Commercial Agriculture at Purdue.
30% said crop or livestock prices. That's an important shift because it tells us where producers think profitability will be won or lost in the years ahead. When we asked producers about their biggest long-run challenge, commodity prices topped the list by a wide margin. Farm transition came in second, cost control followed close behind in third place, financial considerations and weather were next. Trade and government policy ranked even lower than these other items. Now, that doesn't mean that those issues aren't important, but producers are telling us that maintaining profitable prices or managing through periods of lower prices is their biggest concern. And given today's margin environment, that's very understandable. We're in a period where costs remain historically high, while commodity prices, particularly those for crops, have come off the highs we saw a few years ago. That combination leaves much less room for error. The survey revealed something else that fits this story extremely well. We asked producers what type of risk management education would help them the most in the upcoming year. 44% chose marketing, not financial management, not strategic planning. It wasn't even close. Marketing was by far and away the most commonly chosen item. That was true for both crop and livestock producers, but it was particularly true for crop producers. When farmers identify commodity prices as their biggest long-term challenge, it makes sense that improving marketing decisions becomes their highest educational priority. Marketing is one of the few tools producers have to actively manage price risk. You can't control the market, but you certainly can try to mitigate risk associated with the market. For example, you can't influence when you price grain, how you spread sales over time, and whether you use contracts or other marketing tools such as options to reduce risk. Those decisions become increasingly important when profit margins are tight. Now, despite these concerns, producers weren't entirely pessimistic. The overall barometer improved. Current conditions and future expectations both improved, particularly current conditions. The Farm Capital Investment Index also moved higher, suggesting producers felt somewhat more comfortable making major investments than they did just a month earlier. So this isn't a story about farmers losing confidence. It's really a story about recognizing where the biggest challenges are likely to come from. Even with better sentiment, producers understand that long-term profitability depends heavily on managing through volatile commodity markets. One other result reinforces that point. Only about 13% of producers said their farm was financially better off than a year ago. When looking ahead, 1 year, producers were almost evenly split between expecting their operation to improve and expecting it to get worse. This tells us that optimism has improved, but uncertainty remains. Higher grain prices helped sentiment this month. The question is whether stronger prices can be sustained and whether they increase even more. The July Ag Economy Barometer reminds us that confidence can improve quickly when markets move in the right direction, but it also highlights something much more fundamental. Farmers believe the biggest challenge over the next decade isn't simply producing a good crop, it's earning a profitable price for it. And that's why marketing continues to be one of the most valuable management tools producers can develop.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We don't recommend that you have it on Thanksgiving when everybody's home or at the kitchen table. We want somewhere that it's comfortable, it's at a neutral location, because we don't want to fall into the dynamics of, you know, mom and dad sit in their spots, they are the power holders, siblings sit in their spots, they pick on each other. I like to have it in an extension office, a library, somewhere like that, that it's neutral, but it also limits distraction.
Anastasia Meyer with the University of Nebraska at Lincoln.
These conversations are hard. And when they're hard, it's really easy to say, well, I got stuff to do, I got chores to do, and go to the barn or go to the shop that's 100 feet from the door. It focuses you to devote that time to the meeting and the transition planning process, right? It's important that everybody or one person takes notes and everybody is shared with those notes. Soon, we need to make sure that my recollection matches mom and dad's and brother's and that we have them to review before we go and meet again. So before you leave, you're going to have a next meeting date. You're going to say the minutes are going to be sent out and you're going to send them out to make sure that my memory matches your memory. And then we also need some ground rules. So the first ground rule that I recommend that we set is to use facts to discuss business, right? So this is when we're going to look at the balance sheets and say that, well, the farm is profitable, the farm is not profitable. We're not going to use the assumption that the farm must be doing great because we have all these assets, right? No, we're only going to use those facts to discuss it. It's a safe space. So, you know, a lot of times siblings fall into the teasing, yelling, especially in like sarcastic families. We're not going to do that when we're having these because, again, we have to build trust and we have to be willing to work with each other. So a safe space, we're not going to fall into those teasing, yelling or criticizing family members. The no gossip rule. This means that what is said at the table is going to stay at the table and you're not going to talk amongst one another with it. I fully realize that husband and wife are going to be talking and debriefing with it after these meetings. But what this means is I'm not going to call my brother and say, can you believe what my sister said and just gossip about that, right? We're not going to do that. We're going to leave it within the family units. And then if I want to address it, I can address it at the next family meeting. I'm not going to gossip with one of my siblings and just build that resentment on it. We are also going to have a gag rule or a talking stick rule, right? I'm only going to allow you to speak once per topic, maybe have a time limit on it, and I'm not going to allow any interruptions when you are talking. It's amazing how sometimes you need that talking stick just to have people follow these no interruptions and only speaking once per topic. We just don't want this meeting to just end up in a continual circle of debate where nothing actually gets accomplished. And then we have to realize that people process things in a different way than you might. And so if you are an internal processor, if your sibling or parent, if they're being quiet through this, it doesn't mean that they are accepting it or not accepting it. It means that there might just be processing it a little bit different than you. And a lot of times if you're a vocal processor and someone else is an internal processor, you know, there's some disagreements there. And just know that it's okay. And, you know, that's when it's going to get brought up at that next meeting.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
This year, important producing areas in Minas Gerais, the Brazil largest coffee producing state, as well as São Paulo, received above average rainfall for this time of year. And this has created important implications for the market.
Leonardo Rossetti is a market intelligence analyst with StoneX in Brazil.
The first point is coffee quality. Field reports indicate that these unusual rains disrupted parts of the drying process and increased fermentation in some coffee lots, which can affect the quality. Combined with harvest delays, especially in Arabica producing areas, this has raised questions about the availability of higher quality coffees from Brazil. When we talk about washed and semi-washed coffees, which are generally considered higher quality coffees due to both their production methods and their additional processing requirements, the global market is already facing tighter supplies. Colombia, the main supplier of this type of coffee, has experienced production constraints in the recent years, including the current crop. At the same time, the ICE exchange certified stocks, which consists primarily of washed and semi-washed coffees, have continued to decline and remain at historically low levels. In this environment, premiums for the coffee of higher quality from origins such as Colombia, several countries in Central America and parts of Africa, the traditional suppliers to the ICE exchange, have remained exceptionally strong. This reduced incentive to certify coffee and on the exchange and can even encourage stock withdrawal when physical market supplies become tighter. This happens because during periods of shortage, the exchange certified stocks often become a last resort source of supply for some consuming countries. As a result, Brazil is facing an interesting situation today. On one hand, we are looking at a record Arabica crop. At StoneX, we estimate production at 50.2 million bags. On the other hand, there may be greater limitations on the supply of higher quality coffees. And another point that is worth noting is that it's not only a weather with a related issue, this is also a structural factor behind it. And another point worth noting is that it's not only a weather-related issue. There is also a structural factor behind it. In these last few years, especially after coffee prices began rising sharply in 2021, it has become, in many cases, less attractive for producers to invest in the additional processes required to produce washed and semi-washed coffees. For many farmers, the extra costs involved are not fully compensated by additional revenue. As a result, production within this segment is not expanded at the same pace as overall coffee production. Therefore, in the coming months, when Brazilian coffee starts reaching international market in larger volumes, will be critical to understand the true availability of these coffees. The second key topic involves next year crop. Over past month, StoneX field team observed some small flowering events in some regions that received these out-of-season rains. This has generated concerns about market participants because Brazil's main flowering season typically occurs between late August, September, and part of October.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.